Let's pray together. Lord, as we have read and heard from your written word, that Jesus, even here on earth, while he was here alive walking among us, was in the business of sending people out to minister in his name, to do things for him, to help him in his ministry. Lord, we pray this day that through your written word and through its application that we may come to a greater understanding of what it means to be a follower of Jesus, to be a disciple of Christ. Lord, we pray that our hearts and minds may be open this morning to receive a word from you that will help us in our daily living. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Have you ever broken an arm, a hand, or even a finger? If so, then you know how difficult it suddenly becomes to even do the simplest of tasks. Have you ever tried to tie your shoe, open a jar, or fold a shirt with only one hand? Things we usually perform with utter ease, using two hands, become agonizingly slow and take all of our concentration when only one hand is available. Even then, the results are often sloppy and embarrassing. Some tasks just take two. Two hands, two people, two wills, two hearts. One simply is not enough to get the job done. Perhaps some of you remember the song made famous by Three Dog Night entitled One, with the opening line, "One is the loneliest number that you'll ever do." Throughout the Gospels, we read that Jesus sent his followers out not alone, but in pairs. Think about it for a moment. Matthew and Mark record that Jesus called his original 12 disciples and sent them out two by two to preach, teach, and to heal. And as he was preparing for his last meal with his disciples, Jesus sent two of them into the city to prepare the upper room. In the first text that we read this morning, Jesus appoints 70 other followers and sent them out ahead of him in pairs. In today's second passage, Jesus sends his disciples for a young colt that he will ride into Jerusalem. He sends out a team of two to get the job done. One probably could have gone, but Jesus sent two. Just as when Jesus had sent his disciples out to preach, teach, and heal, he continued to keep his disciples operating as teams. Consider the missions that Jesus sent his followers on. Sometimes I'm sure it was exciting to anticipate the new towns that they would be going to. But it also was probably scary at times. What if they were rejected? Jesus even warned them of that. Do you think the two disciples chosen to get the colt looked forward to this mission with the same sort of anticipation that they had enjoyed when venturing into Galilee? I don't think so. Instead, the miraculous healings and exorcisms, they were now being appointed horse thieves for Jesus. A young colt was a valuable commodity in those days. As a pack animal, it even offered the means of a livelihood as a mode of transportation. It offered a certain amount of status and afforded some income for its owner. Sashaying into the big city and simply helping themselves to some stranger's property hardly sounded like a mission for the sake of the Messiah. But Jesus makes this impossible-sounding mission possible by anticipating every question, every quibble, every quandary these disciples might face. First, they were sent as a team of two so that they could lend one another strength and companionship along the way. As team members, they could take turns feeling confident or scared. leading or following, doubting or believing. As two, they also presented a more plausible picture to those who would question them about taking the colt. One man skulking up to untie an animal that was not his own was surely a thief. But two men, engaged in conversation while confidently untying the colt, looked more like a mission. And when the bystanders asked the two disciples exactly what they were doing, as Jesus had foretold they would, the disciples are not only prepared with the answer that Jesus gave them, they can corroborate each other's story. A strange story sounds less odd when two witnesses testify to its truth. Some of you may remember the 1960s television program Mission Impossible. Probably the most memorable parts were the metronomic theme music at the beginning of each episode, in which a tape-recorded voice made the assignment for the impossible mission force. Five feature films have been made, with another plan for release in 2018, that are based on that program. But something was very different between the television program and the films, namely that the films featured a big star, superhero named Ethan Hunt, portrayed by Tom Cruise. The strength of the old television program was that every story, every mission, was a team effort. No one was the runaway star of the show. The complex schemes they cooked up to fulfill their impossible missions were utterly dependent on the performance of every single team member. Some of the team members had more glamorous roles than others, but that at the end of a successful mission, it was the team that had pulled it off. The final take in each show was always of all the team members coming back together and acknowledging that it was only because of team effort that the impossible had been made possible. Jesus has called all of his followers to join his impossible mission force and to be prepared to be offered some pretty crazy sounding assignments. Your mission and mine, should we choose to accept it, will lead us into some strange situations. We may not find ourselves being horse thieves for Jesus, but chances are we will find ourselves doing things and saying things we would never have dreamed possible. Being on Christ's impossible mission force may involve glamour duty, like teaching and preaching and healing, or it may involve garbage duty, perhaps ministry of recycling or minister of maintenance. And what's more, some of our teammates we may never have met. Our team, the team that Jesus has called us to be on, includes not only those of us sitting here today, but also those who are ministering down the street, across the country, and around the world. Remember how Jesus sent his disciples out two by two? We sang the following words a few moments ago. It may not be on a mountain's height or over a stormy sea. It may not be at the battle's front. My Lord will have need of me. Our international missionaries need us on their team. They have answered the call of Christ to move to the mission field. It's our job as their teammates to support them with our prayers, messages of encouragement, and financial gifts. One way of doing this is through the World Mission Offering. Our international missionaries cannot serve on the mission field without team players like us. Now, teamwork is not a new concept. Jesus employed it for his disciples, and we have witnessed it used throughout the generations. On July 20th, 1969, the world watched as astronaut Neil Armstrong became the first man to set foot on the moon. Those old enough to recall that event remember the moment when he said, "That's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind." What we probably don't remember is how many people were involved in getting astronaut Armstrong to the moon. In all, there were 218,000 people working behind the scenes to make that historic moment possible. Many of us are being called to be behind-the-scenes team players. Are we ready to be part of the greatest team effort ever put forth to the world? Can we stay true to our mission and accomplish all that God intends? If we are, we have two things that we need to do. Remember that we are part of a team. We're not alone in this. And secondly, in times of doubt and despair, we need to recite the reassuring mantra with which Jesus sends us out on our mission. The Lord needs me to do this. May we each go to love and serve our Lord and our neighbors in whatever ways he calls and challenges us. And our seemingly impossible missions, even if they be on the global scale, can become possible. Let's pray together. Lord, we have heard your call to discipleship. We also hear the call and the challenge to go, to share the good news of Jesus Christ, to preach and teach and heal. And Lord, many of us here today may be saying, but Lord, that's not for me. But Lord, throughout the Gospels, we read again and again that you did not send anyone out as a lone ranger. You sent out teams. And remind us that, Lord, that we're not alone in ministry. That you've called us together and you send us out together to minister together. And Lord, we pray that as we join the team of our international missionaries, that they may sense that they are not alone in this either. There are people here in the States that are praying for them, that communicate with them, showing them support and encouragement, and also financially support their work so that they can stay on the mission field, sharing the good news of Christ with others. Lord, we pray that you will encourage us and strengthen us as we seek to join your team, the team of Jesus Christ. It's in his name that we ask all of this. Amen.